gals from Equine Connection, the Academy of Equine Assisted Learning. Hi, I'm Carrie.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Carson.
Welcome to our podcast.
You will be listening to some of our best moments of helping people to live their best lives, and all while, get this, working with horses.
We will be your hosts and have tons of guests along the way. Subscribe today and happy listening.
Hey, how's it going? Hope you are having a fantastic day wherever you may be, because today here is absolutely gorgeous. We've got sunshine out and it's nice and warm. Can go outside without a parka on. So it's been a fantastic morning thus far. But really, I guess you're probably here because you want to know about starting that business. What are the trials? What are the tribulations? And how do you get through all that stuff? How can you get through the rough patches in your business to really get started and know that you're going the right direction? So going back again, so what's starting your business, trials, tribulations, what are you going to do? We have a fantastic speaker with us here today that's going to be helping you out with her story of exactly what it is that she did to get through all of this stuff and to make sure that she really came out the other end super successful, and she is. She's amazing. You guys will love her. A little bit about me. I am Carolyn Charles, Director of Sales and Marketing with the Equine Connection, the Academy of Equine Assisted Learning. And as a result of becoming certified with us, our clients leave with a life changing, ready-made career and business ready, including all the exceptional tools you could need, everything you could need, an empowered team behind you, a refreshed awareness and remarkable communication with your horses. And you leave with a soul altering confidence, knowing that you are exactly where you are meant to be. So if this sounds like everything you've ever wanted and more, you are in the right place today, because I'm going to introduce Miss Brianne Hangley.
Okay.
Hey, look at me go.
Am I there?
You're there.
Oh, okay, cool. Hi. Hello, everybody. I'm Brianne Hingley. I guess I'll just say who I am. I'm a facilitator here in Baytree, Alberta, and I have a facility, and I'm also an assistant instructor for Equine Connection, the Academy of Equine Assisted Learning, and I love my job. I love it here. I feel wildly successful here in my tiny cabin. So I'm happy to be here. So thanks so much for having me here today.
You guys will notice that Carson and Carrie aren't here today. Luckily, Bree's come to help me out, so you don't just have to like, listen to me babble. But they are off in Denmark starting the course this week, so that's very exciting stuff as well. But Bree, I am more than happy to have you here helping me out, the lovely Brianne Hingley, with Force Action and Development, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Because the horse is with the horse.
That's right.
That's fine. And actually, people wonder that a lot. They say, why the force? And it's really neat because, you know, we have that force inside of us. Like, we have that life force. We have everything inside of us. And the horse is so cool in using what they have, their life force inside, to help us learn those skills that we need for every day. So that's why we say that. Not that we force anything. The force is with the horse.
Like the Star Wars piece, use the force, right? Because we've all got it. It's all within each of us. And I loved that you say that with the horse part too, though, because it really is their sensitivity and everything that allows us to do what we do with them as the teachers. And that is their force. That's their abilities, right? That maybe we don't have the same ones as humans. So force makes sense. So how long ago was it that you got certified, Bree?
3 years ago. It was in 2016 I got certified.
Okay. It feels like you've been here forever.
I feel, you know, it's been such a huge progression, and so many things have happened in my life professionally, especially since I've been certified, which I did not want to do, which I have to say, at first I was pretty, you know, worried when I first, you know, started the certification. I started to think, what am I doing here? Is this right for me? And as soon as we went in with that group, as soon as we went in with those boys from the Siksika Medicine Lodge, I was completely changed. I was forever changed. I saw the results in that hour.
And it's funny, you're kind of the like me in that way, because I was the skeptic piece of it as well. And then it wasn't until I saw a program. But of all the kids that we had, Bree was put with the one who had the hoodie over his head. He had the sunglasses on. He's looking at the ground, cursing and everything else like that. And everybody else was like, oh my gosh, it's so scary, because they're brand new facilitators, right? Bree in there like a dirty shirt.
It was so neat because we walked into the room and I remember looking at the boy and I thought, I don't want this boy. I hope I don't get this boy, because he had his name tag on his ass. He clearly has the stuff. And I understand now that he was me. And it actually worked out so good because I was that kid. I was a little bit, you know, I didn't have the skills as a youth. I had a different lifestyle. I certainly did not grow up with horses. I did not grow up in this life in any way. And this is why I love what we do so much, because now I help me. I see those kids, they come see me and I help them so they don't have to go through those struggles that I had to take. I took the long way. To take the quick path to success in their life.
But that's such a huge satisfaction part of it. Like, I completely get what you're saying. And a lot of people, when they start this career, they end up going into kind of the area that means the most to them, right? That's their passion. It's because it's something that's happened to them or someone that they're close to, or there's always a connection there with it. But you're totally right. Every time that you get to help somebody that maybe you were in those shoes 20 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever else, it's such a fulfilling feeling that you've given them something that maybe you wish you would have had at that point in your life, right? Like, it's amazing.
Oh, and it's really expanding too for your career as well, because all of those kids that you get to help, you feel like you get to, I know it's selfish, but you feel like you get that little piece that's repaired in your brain all at the same time.
It's not selfish though. That's what makes it such a beautiful career, is that it fills our cup at the same time, right? Like, otherwise, if we hated it, we wouldn't do it. But it gives back to us the more we can give back to others. And that's generally, I think, what people should be doing, right? We get a good piece of it. Always remember, have you seen that Friends episode where Phoebe tries to do a totally selfless deed? Exactly. Yes. And it doesn't exist, because when you do something good, it feels good to do it, right? So that's what I always think of with it too. I'm glad you understood that. Otherwise, it's going to be really hard to explain.
I know it.
Well, so back to topic in hand, though.
Sorry, yes. But it's very accurate. It's funny when the pilot... So when we first started, when I got certified, I knew that we had to run this through with some youth. We had to get going, right? We had to get moving. And I actually enlisted my nephew, who was in high school at the time. And he was just the star. Like, he just made everything happen. And also a friend of mine, her son... he came in as well, and these two boys came through the curriculum. And the change was so obvious that the second week, I actually submitted a package to the school to let them know why my nephew was skipping school. Coming with me, I was picking him up. He was coming with me for an hour and a half every morning, and that's why he was late. And it was so beautiful because the guidance counselor, that's what I was looking for. The guidance counselor at the school, she said to me, she goes, I noticed a change in him, but I didn't know what it was. And she said, I didn't want to tell him, because how do you tell a 16-year-old, hey, you're better? You seem better. She knew right away, she could see the difference in him. And those two boys would never have met each other, never. And so seeing that come together and seeing what they did together with the horses and with this program, the way it was designed and the way that it's been formulated, running it exactly as we're certified to do, it worked perfect. Like, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and you tried to recreate a few things yourself at first, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. So initially, when you become certified, I'll just explain it really quick. When you become certified, you get everything in your package. So you get all of the tangibles, you get everything that you'll need to move forward. I, for some reason, wanted to have my territory, and I recreated a ton of things, and I don't know why. So don't do that. It was so foolish of me to do that. It was just so much time, but I think I had to do it to learn the hard way again. And so that's a really interesting thing, because in the other businesses that we have here, so I actually have a subdivision in another business that I run with my partner, and it was so neat because nobody ever said, here's a manual. You want to have a filing company, a subdivision? Here's a manual on how to do it. Not in a million years did anybody tell us how to do anything.
No.
Like, nothing. So this was groundbreaking for me, because I'd never seen a business that came with all the things that you would need to take it forward and be successful.
Yeah, it's true. And it's funny, I was talking to another one of our facilitators, Bo, and he said, you know what, I keep on, because this has never happened to me before, I keep thinking, you guys are going to be weird, or you're going to be like, oh, this is ours now or something. I'm like, no, yeah. Oh, this is really for you. He's like, but my business brain, being in sales and stuff like that before, he's like, I never would have thought that it was going to be something that you'll actually give this to us. Like, he had a hard time trusting it. But yeah, it's true. When you're used to that other kind of business, right?
It is different. And my recommendation would be is if sometimes when it feels easy, it really is. Like, yeah. Just accept it and go with it.
We are talking about the trials and tribulations, but you were just saying how when you were getting started, you sent it off for your nephew, telling them, and they said, yeah, they had noticed the difference in him. So what'd you do from there?
From there, we completed the program with my nephew. Once this happened, it then gave us an in to have a meeting with the school. And at that time, then we signed up to do the pilot program from April through June. So this was right. Really neat to be a part of, because I supplied, you know, everything for the schools. I kept track of everything for them so that they would be able to see what was accomplished by these youth. So when they completed, I put everything together in a package. And I have it all on my computer. I kept everything together so that I could also and be able to see that.
Nice.
And it was really a beautiful thing. Like, it actually is, some of the kids that came through that pilot program, I still see them today, and they still come to my facility repeating.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's yes. Cool. But it's true. You can go through those programs a bazillion times. It's never going to be the same program because we're always providing a different stimulus. You can still continue to build those skills each and every time they come back, right? It's amazing.
Well, and you're growing. And it's funny because we talk a lot about yoga. I guess I'll use yoga for an example. You know, anybody, even a master, somebody that's been doing yoga their whole life, can still come into a yoga class and still develop further.
Yes.
There's always room for growth.
Yeah.
And this is the same because your brain can actually create new pathways, that neuroplasticity, it's always going to grow.
Yeah.
So you can come and do these programs year after year after year and still grow, still really push the limit.
We've had that same thing where people are coming in from even from different organizations, but the same person comes in a few times and redoes some programs, but they still are just bringing it up to the new level, to the next level, to the next level of learning, right? And it's always phenomenal. So Bree, you make it sound easy what you went through and everything to get moving forward for this business. But what were some of the trials that you went through? What were some of the hard parts that you kind of felt like? Because I know when we were starting up, it was like, well, we had it a little bit different because we didn't have the manual, but it was like smashing our faces into brick walls repeatedly, trying to get some of this information out there, but we had to persevere, right? So what were some of your trials that you had to go through?
I would say one of the biggest setbacks, like there was a ton of setbacks, but first thing that comes to my mind was the time budgeting. And so because we already have these other businesses that I was part of, I literally put a stop to all of it. I was doing the bookkeeping for the other business, for this equine business. I did all EAL all day, all the time. I was obsessed.
Yeah.
Totally obsessed. So,
good obsession, but still.
But however that helped move forward, it created a lot of stress in my other life.
Mm-hmm.
So my biggest recommendation would be to really do it. There's no rush. Like, there's no finish line to this, and there's no point in rushing to meet it. And I talked to a lot of facilitators who are in a hurry to gain a contract, to gain this, gain that, gain this. And I just say, take a breath and slow down, because if you can create your foundation, that is the best way to do it. I like that. At your own pace. Absolutely. Like, you know, coming in slowly and solidifying all the parts in your life, not just your EAL side. You need to take the skill that you gain from it and apply it in all areas.
And well, the fact of the matter is any business that you go into, anything you go into, if it's a sport, if it's a business, doesn't matter. Even if it's parenting, you have to watch. Oh, I don't fit there. Okay. You have to watch your scales, right? Because you have to make sure that there's still the balance there. Otherwise, if one side tips too much, then you're going to lose something on the other side, right? And you, as a parent too, there's so much that you have going on with kids' sports, with businesses, with this and that. There has to be a balance in life to be able to keep everything afloat. Otherwise, something's going to suffer, right? And who says that any one thing should suffer before another. But I love that, to just keep your own pace. You don't have to like jump in head first to the shallow end of the pool. You can just dial it back a little bit, do bits and pieces, and then when you're really ready, move forward. However, if you get business, I mean, you go with it, right? But you still have to try to keep your balance as best you can, so your life balance.
That's an important point though, because sometimes, you know, even now I'll get, you know, things come up, they'll say, oh, we want you to do this or we want you to do that. But you have to actually be prepared.
Yes. So
there is a small part of winging it, of saying yes and figuring it out later. Yes, that's a huge, huge, huge part of it. And don't say no.
Yeah.
But on the same token, you want to be able to go in those skills into your business and look professional. You don't want to go in and say, oh, I don't have this stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't have this. Oh, I'll find it for you. I don't have this.
Yeah.
So if you go in and at least take that and have the confidence to do that. I would say too, you're definitely a more confident person
when you're facilitator.
Things, you're prepared and you're not thinking, oh, I left this other stuff to do. You can't be in the moment if you just obsess about one thing.
Yeah. Well, that's with your programs, right? If you aren't ready to, and you haven't practiced and you don't know exactly what you're rolling with the programs, which is, you know, as long as you practice them, you're all good because the program descriptions are there, but you still have to have all those pieces like nailed. Otherwise you're going to not be as confident of a facilitator as you want to be. Right. And then it feels yucky or after that you haven't done something right. People don't know, but you know, right.
Yeah. Well, and I think that comes down to not only practicing those programs, but practicing your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're setting out a lifestyle for yourself that you're going to, in any business, I don't care what it is, in any business, you want to go out in the off time behind the scenes. And that's what we do here. I work with the horses every single day. And I do this because I have to be able to trust me with them. I have to be able to trust me in my situation. And that was a huge thing too. When I first got certified, I thought, what am I doing here? With these horses, like I had had horses for a while and I had, you know, do riding and I had been, you know, for pleasure and I had them, I used them on my farm. So I had a good gauge of what I thought the horses were bringing. And I got a little pep talk once from a friend of mine and he said, don't ever quit because you think you don't know what the horses are saying. Don't ever quit because of that, because anyone can do it. And it's every single day. I know anyone can do it because I see it every single day when I run a program.
People
who never touched a horse can come in and tell me the horse feels safe. A horse is liking this action. A horse is liking what I'm doing. So it's understanding that, but practicing your life, do your practice life and present it after.
Don't quit. Practice life.
Yeah.
That's a good one too.
Yeah.
All of it has to, and I mean, even the horse piece, because both you and I didn't come from a super horsey place either. But that's something I think a lot of people are worried that they have to be a trainer or they have to do certain things. There's a lot that you learn along the way, and maybe you're not going to start your programs right away if you don't trust yourself with your horses or you don't trust your horses, but you can still get to that place. Like, had you told me 10 years ago or 12 years ago that this is what I was going to be doing, or that you and I would even be talking about this right now, I would have said that you smoked something funny and you were a little off. Like, it wouldn't have even crossed my mind that this is where I was going to be. But don't ever quit, don't ever stop yourself from doing something because of fear, because of you think you can't do it or you think you're not going to know enough. That part you can learn, you can move forward, and it's a steep learning curve, but you can make it happen one way or another.
And this is the thing. So whether you're looking at the business, looking at EAL for the business or any business, you got to learn it. Nobody ever gets into it and just knows how to do it. And I say that's part of the beauty of taking on something. The beautiful part that I like with the horses is it's every single day. It's fresh every single day. And I know they're going to respond to me. And I know that they're going to give me something that I might not see at the moment.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be able to take that and understand why things had to happen the way they did. And it's really huge when you look at being present in your life. And we're often not present, even when we're presenting or even when we're with our kids. But with a horse, I can tell right away when we're not present.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And That's a really fortunate thing. I feel like that's a luxury in this business where a lot of people don't have, because they can fake it throughout the day.
Yeah.
And we need that. We actually need that for our bodies to be present and to be in the moment. And, you know, physiologically and psychologically, we need to have these moments.
Yeah, absolutely. And to just not, otherwise we live in a state of like worry, it seems, because we're always too 20 steps ahead and we haven't even gotten there yet, right? Yeah. Like we can't go to that piece. And even with, I was going to ask you to, oh, and if anybody out there has any questions for Bree, fire them up as well, because we're more than happy to answer them. But with the sales part of thing, I think that's a big fear for a lot of people. And that is a big trial, like figuring out how are you going to go out and actually talk to people and be confident enough to do so.
Yeah.
For you, like, I mean, you're a pretty confident person in the first place, but how did you prepare? I mean, you said you had all the packages and everything already. How did you get into that sales place? Because I know I'm not a salesperson. It took me a bit to wrap my head around the idea of how am I going to go out and be a salesperson now, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there's two really, really important things if you're looking at any sales. And I don't care what business it is. I don't care what job you're doing, because that's what this is. When you go out and you people, organizations, you're actually making a bid.
Yeah.
And you want them to pick you. That's what it is. So two things that you really have to have is you have to be prepared. You must be prepared. And the second thing is you must have the acceptability. You have to be able to accept rejection.
It's so true.
That's it. Just be prepared and rejection. So be prepared to be rejected.
I like that.
What you need to do is, so if you get a rejection, and I get them all the time. So I work with organizations. I have my regular organizations, but I'm also talking to other ones all the time. And I give them the details. I give them the information. And every single time, if it's a no, I ask them, what made you say no? I even ask it to people. So even when we're at a trade show, hey, do you want something? People say no. And I say, why not?
It's true. So she does everything.
I truly do. I want to know why, because to me, this is something really good. And if they don't tell me what's caused their no, I can never learn.
Yes.
And you have to be able to learn from it. You have to be able to take it and say, okay, thank you for telling me that. Now I can learn and do better next time. Mm-hmm. And I can almost guarantee too, people will like it.
Yeah, it's not like you ask invasively, like, what's your problem? Why are you saying no? You know, it's just simple. Yeah. Okay, well, what made you go that way or anything else like that? But that piece of being prepared to be rejected is huge, because you are not going to get every single person you ever speak to. Right? No. It's just not how it works, because it could, and it might not even be you. It might be budgets, might be other things. But at the same token, having that preparation in your head that it could happen, not that it will, you don't want to go in with a bad intention. But knowing that it doesn't feel like you've just failed the world if you don't get one client, right? Like, that's such a valid point with sales. Huge.
Well, and it's really interesting too, because you have to think, depending on what your business is, you have to think of the work that you're going to make for other people. So this is huge. So if you have an organization and you present to them and it's beautiful and you got it all and they say no, it might not have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
It might be because now if they say yes to you, now they have to do a new safety protocol. Maybe now they have to do some more paperwork. And at that moment, they might not be ready to take it on because they're not in a place to expand. That could be it.
Yeah.
So asking for the details, if you're saying, you know what was your hang up? For my information, I love to learn. What caused you to want to not do this time? What was that? Sometimes they'll tell you, and they might not offer it to you, but if you ask a direct question, then they're free to tell you.
Yeah, it's very true. And that allows you to, like you say, keep learning, because every sales meeting, every time you facilitate, every conversation you ever have is going to be a little bit different, but you have to be able to, and I don't know about you, but for myself, I've taken all of the meetings that I ever have, and every single one has attributed to my next meeting.
Yes. Right?
Because they all have knowledge that I've gained from every single meeting that allows me to be better prepared and to better market and sell this business as I am now, because of everything I've learned from every sales meeting beforehand.
Well, and I think it also contributes to how authentic and how genuine you can be. If you go in and you're worried about, I don't know, your clothing that day, or you're worried about everything else that day, and you can't be authentic, you have to be able to say, look, people in the past have told me it was this, 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 this. This humbled me down, because if it can take you down a couple notches, great. So that provides a huge freedom in that when you're going in, you're not worried about anything else. You're just going there to say, this is what we offer. This is how it will affect you. And this is what I hope you can result in the end. This is what I hope will happen for you.
Yes.
And give them the information and you feel good about it.
Yeah.
That's all you can do is be honest and authentic.
Well, and it's funny how you said about the clothing too, because I was just telling you about how my power went out the other day. So I went to go work with horses. Well, I had a sales meeting that afternoon. So there I am going into the sales meeting after working with the horses. My pants were filthy. I've got path drool down my back. And I walked in, I'm like, I was clean this morning, I promise. But however, and it was actually a great way to open the meeting. They were like, well, we know where you come from. We kind of, you know, it's all good. I'm like, perfect. But it was a good way to have a good chuckle at the beginning of the meeting too, because if you're authentic, and that was authentic. I was with the horses. You know, that's a good thing, really. So it all works out. If you can go in and be confident in your knowledge and in your program, that's what makes the difference. It's not about what kind of BS you can sling, because that just makes you inauthentic. Is that the word? Non-authentic?
Inauthentic? It makes you full of BS.
I like it. You're blowing sunshine at that point.
Yeah. Well, and it's not real, because... That's the huge thing too, is even when people are coming to your facility, they're not coming to see your facility.
No.
They're coming to gain a skill. And actually yesterday I ran a program here, and we have this little granary. I have two granaries that I squished together, and I had the little air conditioner in here, and it was awesome. Totally awesome. And this building didn't cost me any money. $0. And it's actually not even necessary. So I was telling one of the support staff, I said, yeah, I don't even need this building. And she's like, what? I said, well, we don't need it, because the learning is actually in the arena.
Yeah.
Life in general. So my clothing, my building, my outward appearance, it actually isn't going to change anything.
Nope.
And it's the same in any business. So even our subdivision, people are coming there to look at the land. They're making a vision of what they're going to be at the end.
Yeah.
And if I dress like a realtor when they show up there, they're not going to care. They won't care.
No, they might think it's a little weird, but.
They might think it's weird. Yeah. A realtor in flip-flops.
Yeah. That's not me.
I mean, and again, it's gauge it on your business, and all things are appropriate. Certain businesses have certain uniforms, but at the heart of it, you have to think, what are you bringing to offer?
Totally.
Not your name brand clothes.
Yes, that's very true. And so even talking about, you know, doing this at your own pace, making sure you're not quitting, you're practicing that life piece and being prepared to be rejected. Out of all those things, what's your success point at now? How are you feeling like you've hit a success point?
Well, I don't think
you have.
I don't think success is actually a point you hit. I just feel like you can either be feeling it, you can feel it or not. And I feel super successful right now, because what I've been doing is actually taking on groups. I've had so many groups here that not in a million years did I think that they would ever be applicable to what I offer.
Oh, cool.
What I'm seeing with these groups is I'm encountering these humans that offer so much in life in general, that it's actually so rewarding for me that my heart is actually just like overflowing. Every time I come here, I actually can't believe that this is what I get to do. And of course, we're preparing for summer. You know, we're going to have all of our little guys. We're going to have all of our stuff happening this summer. And to me, that feels successful, because now actually my daughter's going to be here to help me all summer long.
I love
working
it.
With my family, working with my horses. Being able to take a step back from the sales side of it, which I think is important. I think everybody needs to go in those motions, because if you're by yourself, because you can't be all sales and you can't just be facilitating all the time. You have to have both.
Well, and even if you're not all by yourself, like for myself, I don't want to do sales all the time.
Yes.
Like, because my passion isn't necessarily in that piece. My passion is once they come into our place and they get the skills and I get, you know, the that feels like success to me, is when I can see people leaving with something they didn't have before, right? Or a new sense of self. That's the success piece for me. But I don't want to be a salesperson all the time. I want to have a nice balance, again, back to the balance piece, of what part of the business that I'm doing. And that's with three of us. So with one of you, definitely you need that balance in there too.
Well, and that's huge. And I think, again, it's really big, and it creates that balance again. You have to have the balance, and the horses will let you know right away if you're off balance. Mm-hmm. And it happens quite a bit, but, and it sounds so cheesy. I know exactly how it sounds. When people used to say that to me, I used to think that is not real. There's no real work-life balance. That's mm-hmm. not real. It is real. And it doesn't mean like in the day. So yes, sometimes I work a 13-hour day. Sometimes but then the next day I might have a 6-hour day.
Yeah.
So that's where that balance comes in. And I think if people look at it in a bigger life snapshot rather than I'm going to organize every second of my day.
Yes.
It's important, but you know, I'm not going to say, okay, at 4 p.m., I'm never going to talk about work. You know, that doesn't work. That balance.
When you love your work, that's impossible.
Yeah.
Right? Like I like to talk about my job sometimes too. And oh my gosh, I had this amazing thing happen today. But I also love the fact that when my daughter has a concert at school at 10 a.m., I can work that out and I can still be there for that, to have that sort of balance in my life. Right? Like that's
successful. That's
exactly. Yeah. That's my idea of it too.
Yes, absolutely. I would say really fast, I know you got to go, but that was one of the biggest things too with you guys. When I first became certified, you were so open for the communication. And so that's why this is so great, because we're all here for each other, because sometimes you just have to talk it out and figure it out that way. And so and you helped me so much. So thank you.
Well, and this is what we love too, is that it's not just like at our success, especially, is it's not just us getting to see our participants. It's getting to see our facilitators, getting in the participants and being able to help more and more people. Like, and the bigger this grows, the fact that Carrie's in Denmark right now with Carson and James there too, and they're running a course in Europe. Like, that is so cool to me that we are going to be keeping to spread this beautiful program and how people can build skills to help themselves move forward all over the world. Like, that's phenomenal to me. That's just amazing.
It's so important.
Yes. I love it. And EAL should be everywhere. Oh, Chris says, keep talking. What else you got? What else you got, Bree?
Okay. Well, I can. Can we?
Yeah.
Well, I can for sure for a minute. Well, and it's neat that you said too about the Denmark piece. And I like that, because the world is actually so small and we feel like it's so big, but we have to look at our services for our community as a global community. Community is a word that I say all the time, because I think we're all part of it, and we have to look after our kids. We have to help our kids look after each other. We have to do that, because the more that we can help people see how amazing they are and that every single person has an individuality and a gift that they bring that none of us can do, it helps them see just how amazing they are on the grand scheme of things, and what you have to offer the world, you should be doing.
Yeah.
You have
a domino effect, right?
Yeah.
Like it's one of those things that the more we can help somebody else, maybe they are able to step into a different part of their lives to be able to help somebody else, to be able to help someone else. Like that kindness, that skill development, that piece where we're bringing ourselves to the next level, it's a ripple effect. And like, even in my own life, because of doing this, I'm a better mom. 100%. I can hear my daughter in a different way. I can allow her to be herself in a different way. And because of that, then I look at her and I hear her asking questions like a facilitator. She's 8. I'm like, I've groomed her young. This is beautiful. But she does the same thing to her friends. And I'll have, you know, other moms come up and say, you know, my daughter has such bad anxiety, and I'm so thankful that your daughter's in her class because she calms her down, that kind of thing. Like, and that's, it's the domino effect. The more people we can help, the more we can do, the more they're going to help others as well. And that really is our entire purpose on this earth, is to help other people, right? Because that's what brings us all together.
Well, and helping them figure out what's your thing. What's your thing? And it's really interesting because, you know, you see, I see a lot of kids. I see a ton of kids that come through. And I love to see the youth, because it doesn't mean they're all going to want horses. And that's not the goal with this at all. Like, so yeah. People should understand that if they're watching and they're not understanding that this isn't just for horse people. It's actually for
more so horse not horse people. Yeah.
Horse people. And the reason that we bring the horse into it is because you can see, they can see something in you that you're going to have to kick up some sort of requirement that they're needing at the moment to keep them safe in their, in the only way they know how.
Yeah.
And that's through quite a bit of urgency. And this is what's so neat is horses are so selfish in their care for themselves.
Yeah.
They actually must look after their own body above anything.
It's what it boils down to. They must be safe. So if you are bringing something in that doesn't feel safe, they have to adjust it. Have to.
And they'll let you know right away. And it's so neat. And we talk a lot about it with kids, especially at-risk youth. Because the at-risk youth don't have time for sentiment. Mm-hmm. I see this quite a bit too, because they might go from foster home to foster home. They don't have time to pack up their stuff and take it with them. They're tangible things. And we always look at the horse and we say, you know, a horse owns nothing. She only owns herself.
Yeah.
She has nothing else. That's why she is so protective of it. And that's what I love too, because that's the way we need to look at ourselves, is that I only own me. This, I have nothing else that I can protect in the day. Me. It's true. And it's funny that I would even have this dialogue with you, because as a kid, I would have told someone like me to probably just
piss off.
Lost. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still shocking to me. Kids are going to do anything that you do. And so it's very important for you to create that. And we always talk, of course, too, like building good character. And building good character, they look at us as role models, and we have to watch what we say and watch even our thoughts. And, you know, a horse always has just such an interesting way to look at the world. It's neither good nor bad. It's just currently something that's occurring in their mind, their bodies. So if we can take that and work with it and solve the problem over and over, those youth, our kids, their friends, they start to look at that and think, maybe life isn't so bad. I could just solve this problem.
And for me, one of the things is the trust piece. Like, I love watching people who don't trust people, and you can't blame them for where they came from and what they've had to go through in life and things like that. Like, you can't blame them for not trusting people. But when they realize that they can trust a horse, it's almost that stepping stone to be able to adapt that to people later on and to decide that they don't have to trust everyone. They can decide who they trust. Like, trust is, and especially in our women's programs, it's something we see over and over and over again, because they've been through things that people shouldn't have to go through, and they don't trust a human being. But you put a horse there and they will trust that horse to give them the cues or to tell them the truth. And it just is so beautiful to watch sometimes how that trust then starts to transfer to their partners, to their lives, in different ways of that they can choose to trust. It's not that they have to, they can choose to, right? And it's amazing to watch. I love it.
Well, and trust is huge too, because the person they need to trust the most is themselves.
Yes.
And it's so neat, because that is for real. So when a horse wants to work with you, when a horse chooses to stay with you, they're putting all of their trust in you. And it shows you that you can trust you, because if you believe it, they can believe it. And it's real.
Yes.
And that's so neat too. And especially touch. And this is what I like with this business as well, is the teacher can touch the people. So the teacher is the horse, and the teacher can offer safe touch. Yes. Even guidance counselors, even all of them, yes, they come in for a hug. Of course, they want to do that, but we're really not supposed to touch the humans.
Yeah.
And a lot of those humans can take it so wrong, you know, can take it in such a different way, depending on where they've come
from. Or it means nothing to them, because people have done that before and it hasn't meant anything, right? Whereas it's different from a horse.
Yeah. So, I mean, even yesterday with one of my horses, Azzy, she was coming in and kind of giving a hug. And that's a powerful feeling. Like, that is. It feels so, and everybody knows right away what that is.
Yeah.
They all say that. Oh, she's giving me a hug. And that's so nice, because that is for real. That shows that she felt it.
Even after working with horses for this long now. And I've seen other horses kind of give hugs and that sort of thing. I was working in the field with Jordy a few weeks ago, and he came in and literally wrapped me in his neck and touched his nose almost to his belly and had me in the middle and held me there. I started to bawl. Like, even this long after, it meant that much to me that he did it. Okay. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But it was just like phenomenal for me how it came through like that. So those are the pieces that it means so much.
And that's really huge. And that even goes back to presenting your business. That goes back to being authentic and being who you are. Yeah. And, you know, I love Bruce Lee. And Bruce Lee says the only way to learn about yourself is to interact with others. This is how you. And I say that it's so true, because the more you do it with your horses, the more you interact with them in this way with freedom, and the more you interact with your humans, the more you're going to learn about yourself, and you're going to be able to go in there and just let people know what you have. So yeah. Then if someone says no, if somebody says no to anything at this point, you understand that they're just not meeting you where you are.
Yeah.
They're meeting them where they are.
And I love that.
So for your business, it's okay. But, you know, working with the horses and bringing in the humans, even at first, if you're just practicing, just watch your horses and see what they're doing. And it'll just change you. It'll, if you have other businesses, it'll help you in that too.
Yeah. I love that you brought this back full circle, Bree. I am super impressed with what you just did there. Full circle.
That's what it's about, right? Because we got to be able to present it and spread the word, and not spread the word. That sounds so culty. I don't mean culty.
Share
knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah. Share the knowledge, because this isn't belief. This is actually based on research. And I like that too, because this isn't just you and I having a gay old time talking about how fun it is to work with the horses. Yes. This is self-based.
Yeah. 100%. And it's 100% real. And we see it all the time. But some of you out there may be just like Bree and I, where you're going to need to see it to believe it. But the moment that you see it, you'll be like, yes, I get this now. And I can see how these interactions make such a difference. And it's that experiential learning piece that just brings it all together really for people, because it gives them something to draw back on later in life when they need to know that they have those skills within them again. They can think back to, oh, what did Jordy say? What did Azzy say? Whatever it may be. And it allows them to pull on those experiences because they're experiential on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, good stuff.
Bam!
Okay, so I like this. The lovely Bree has been here to join us. Thank you so much from Force Action and Development. Check out her website. It's awesome as well. And remember, when you're going through these trials and tribulations, do things at your own pace. It doesn't have to be immediate. It doesn't have to be the second. Do it so that you have that beautiful pace in there that is what works for you and the balance in your life. Don't quit. Practice life. Make sure that you are working within your life and what you can do. And don't quit. Don't give up. And then I love this one. Be prepared to be rejected, because it's 100% true. But just because you have 5 rejections doesn't mean that you're going to get 6. You got to get to the next one and keep going and keep learning from all of those pieces.
Yes.
Wow. This was a goodie.
Yeah. Thank you.
I had fun. This was good.
It's always good. And it's always something to discuss. And it doesn't actually ever get old again, because there's so much to it. There's so much to the human side and so much on the animal side, the horse side. So yeah, anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
Love it. Have a good one, everyone. Enjoy your day.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in today with us gals from Equine Connection on today's episode of Changing Lives with a Horse, of course. Next week, we're going to have tons more information, and please join us then for more chatting on how these phenomenal creatures are really the best teachers around. We'll talk to y'all then.